So let's go over and compare the various methods of replicating Tesla's trimetal generator. There's only one way to do it for the performance characteristics that he specified, namely our dim awareness of the story. 30,000 mile range for an electro U-boat in Germany at the time during World War II, when technology was not as advanced as it is today, and 200 pounds of iron added to the system will add 1 horsepower of output, which in electrical jargon equates to 750 watts of output power.
Post number 26 on my series, on my thread at Energetic Forum on Tesla's trimetal generator, is probably the way he did it for the type of performance characteristics that the story conveys to us over all these years. But short of that, the concept is so basic and so fundamental, so generic, that you could do a demonstration, a proof of concept version, using all kinds of methodologies, not merely that one necessarily. That's why I went to the Tesla coil as a alternative to the watt-hour meter. A watt-hour meter is another version. Again, having very poor characteristic output, but it's a version. You could take the braking magnet and wrap a wire around it and see what happens in terms of what kind of output, or you could demagnetize that permanent braking magnet and wrap a wire around that and see what kind of output you get. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can do it just to demonstrate the basic characteristics, because the basic characteristic is basically the spinning disc in the watt-hour meter, or the top load on a Tesla coil, or the reciprocating piston in William Lyon's version. It's that electrostatic generation of a signal which is the heart of the system, but being the heart, it's at the center. That means it needs a support beneath it, and that's the part that we can't forget. So it's still a five-part system in which stages 1 and 2 generates the power necessary to run stage 3, which is the heart, and that's where the electrostatic signal gets generated that is then magnified to 1 degree or another, or less, more or less, which ultimately happens during stages 4 and 5, the magnification process. So let's take a look at the Tesla coil as a demonstration vehicle, because I think it's more ideal than the watt-hour meter. For some reason, I don't like the idea of even using a watt-hour meter, although a watt-hour meter is closer to Tesla's system than anything else that we have available to us. The electromechanical watt-hour meter. Conceivably, if to be done right, the watt-hour meter would have to be taken apart, all the various components, and laid out so that it becomes obvious what each component is doing within the total system, and then you can go and start making substitutions. But let's just take a Tesla coil situation. I noticed that on onetesla.com, where these MIT students are fabricating Tesla coil kits that you can then buy and, make it a little easier for you to have your own Tesla coil at home to experiment with, they had various pages on helpful information, shall we say. And one of those pages had to do with tuning your secondary, the secondary and the top load. And it was very interesting. They connected in one graphic image, they showed how they connect up a signal generator to the secondary and the top load, and so the primary is not even there. And, of course, the spark gap and all the capacitors and the transformer, all of that is gone, the neon sign transformer or whatever it is you happen to use to run your thing. Your Tesla coil, all of that's removed, and all you have is the secondary winding and the top load, and you're driving it with a signal generator. Okay, now that's pretty good for a proof of concept demonstration. It's not bad. And so if say, rebar or just bound iron wire was placed inside the top load,
And that was wound clockwise or counterclockwise, I don't know which, or both, or maybe zigzag, I don't know, with a copper wiring to lead off to the load. Now you've got yourself a demonstration model. And you're not dealing with high performance because you don't need to, so it's not dangerous. You don't have high voltage you're dealing with, but you do have high frequency. Now, the problem, of course, is it's not Tesla's system. And what is that? A clear, clean, crisp AC electrostatic signal. Instead, what you've got is a signal generator, which is digital, which is not going to be clean and crisp. It'll try to approach it if it's high fidelity. Maybe, you know, if it's thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars piece of equipment, that one piece of equipment, maybe, but it's still digital. And as such, it's merely going to do its best to, what's the word I'm trying to grope for? Fake. That's not maybe the best word, but that's the best I can come up with. Fake the kind of signal that Tesla's system was producing. Now, that's not to say that we can't come up with a solid-state system that'll do what Tesla's mechanical method produced. But given the technology of his era, that was the best that could be done, and that was pretty good, considering the stories that come out of it. And maybe it's the only best way. But I'm still left up for grabs this story that my friend told me of a solid-state system that was capable. But it was low. It was low torque characteristics. It was not powering a U-boat going through water, you know, at normal submarine speeds. So, at any rate, given all those caveats or those limitations, possible limitations, it could be possible to do a proof of demonstration, a proof of concept demonstration at the very least, using a Tesla coil, I would imagine, as one way, as one variation. Because the concept is very generic and not too hard to grasp, so long as we know what Tesla did. And then if we want to deviate from that, then we know how to deviate, so long as we know the general principle involved behind the specifics of how he went about getting high maximum performance at the stage of technological development in his era, which he pretty much was the vanguard of, the developer of. So had he lived another 100 years, he probably would have come up with a far better system. He was always coming up with improvements. We'll just have to make do and do it on our own and take a little bit longer to do it, in all likelihood, because he was such a high-grade specialist in his field. It's obviously looking like where it's going to take us longer to replicate or surpass what he did. But obviously solid state would be a marked improvement if it can be done and still pull off a good deal of performance out of it, coming out of it. It's all about that clean, crisp signal to make that happen. But anyway, so a Tesla coil is not a bad idea, and that's probably why I went in that direction, because that's all I could think of. I couldn't imagine William Lyon's version, how to extrapolate from William Lyon's version what he was conveying in my own words, in my own thoughts, in my own inspiration, inspired thinking. Now I can, but I couldn't at the time, so the Tesla coil was the best I could do because I was frustrated with the water meter, so I had to go in a different direction, and that was good because I can see out of flexibility and there's a lot of diversification possible here. So I'm repeating myself, I guess, for emphasis, to make the point go home strong, as strong as it can. I guess that's enough said. In actuality, you know, I originally, a year ago, started out trying to analyze or trying to investigate and discover, try to understand Eric Dollard's analog computer in longitudinal dielectric, magnetodielectric mode, and I still don't understand it. And I guess it's just way over my head because it has to do with transmission lines and transmission networks, and that's a whole other field, which I know absolutely nothing. But if I wanted to pursue his analog computer in any mode, that's the kind of field I'd have to study. Which means you have to study things like antenna geometries, I mean, all kinds of things that are related to that, with, you know, to help support that study. And that's just one area of support. So it's obvious that's why I had such trouble with it, because it's not simple. It's very complicated, and it's very, you know, it's God, it's deep, it's broad, it's everything. At least this was a specific device, and that's easier for my intuition to lock in on. And especially since we have the watt-hour meter, which is a model, scaled-down, mediocre version. So it's a good point to start with, but it's frustrating because you can only go so far with the watt-hour meter. But it's a very good place to start with. I have to give credit where credit is due. The watt-hour meter is a very good place to start with. It's just eventually going to be frustrating. But hey, you know, that's what growth is for. Create frustrations. Time. Whoa, I've expanded to the limits of my boundaries. And I want to cross those boundaries. It's time to discard the model and get a new one. I originally made that recording about a week ago. And today's understanding is that there's another aspect to the water meter that we've been overlooking, and that is the jewel bearing at the base axle, the vertical axle of the spinning disc. At the base of that axle, there's a jewel bearing, usually white sapphire or diamond, which is presumably, we are told, intended to ease the rotation more friction-free than without it. And given the fact that there may be a missing element in this trimetal generator that has not been part of the story, and you know, any good inventor keeps the heart of his invention close to his heart and does not tell anyone. Sure, it has aluminum, copper, and iron, but I've always considered that glass has been the missing fourth ingredient. I may have been slightly mistaken in assuming it was glass, not considering the possibility that it might have been a piezoelectric quartz oscillator instead of glass. And that since I know the watt-hour meter is a mediocre scaled-down version of the point of mediocrity of what a Tesla special generator is, when we look at it and then see the jewel bearing in the base of the axle of the spinning disc, there may be more to it than just creating a friction-free spin. There may be the possibility that it represents the location thereabouts, the general location of a fundamental part of the water of the Tesla special generator, namely a quartz oscillating crystal, imparting its vibration to the aluminum portion of the water hour meter. I mean, the aluminum portion is kind of like, well, it's an electrostatic sink. That's what a top load on top of a Tesla coil is. It's a sink to send in all your electrostatic charge, and when it can't store the charge anymore, since it's only one plate, a single plate of a capacitor, the other side being the ground, then it discharges large or long streamers into the air surrounding the top load of a Tesla coil. So if, instead of merely relying on streamers erupting into the air, we put a crystal oscillator being driven by a Tesla coil, or being driven by the top load of a Tesla coil, then now we've got some interesting possibilities. For that matter, reversing the direction, since this was supposed to be a 5-stage system, now it's beginning to look like a 6-stage or 7-stage, for that matter, in which the third stage, the top load of the Tesla coil, is surmounted by a 4th-stage crystal oscillator, which in turn then is surmounted by a 5th-stage, a mirror image of everything below the crystal oscillator. So now instead of the aluminum being the pivotal point, the oscillator is the pivotal point, of a seven-part system rather than aluminum being the center point of a five-point system. So surmounting the oscillator is more aluminum to pick up the electrostatic charge discharged by the or the mechanical vibration. See, the spinning disc is a mechanical vibration of sorts in the sense that it's spinning. It's oscillating in its own particular way, in its own unique way, in that it is not a reciprocating action, it's a spinning action. But spinning, reciprocating, to me amounts to the same thing. It's just a different geometry of the same thing. So, you know, one cycle of a spin is one cycle of a reciprocation of a piston. So the electrostatic charge that was imparted to the oscillator from stage 3 of the Tesla coil, let's say, to the fourth stage of the oscillator now becomes mechanical vibration or spin of the what would now be the fifth stage in this new seven-stage system conceptualization, which is now the analog of what a watt-hour meter does. And so now we take the demagnetized braking magnet to suck off the energy of that spinning disc and convert it into a secondary coil wrapped around the demagnetized braking magnet to supply a load. I mean, there's all these kinds of ideas start to percolate as to what is going on in the center of this system, because that's where all the beauty is in the center. And so if I kind of thought that it was a miscarriage of justice to call it a five-part system, because, you know, when we tend to talk about spiritual concepts, we tend to talk in sevens at the very least, not five. You know, even a pentatonic scale is not really a full-fledged, robust diatonic scale. But I didn't know what to do. You know, all I could do is, you know, make note of the fact that five seems incomplete, but I didn't have any answers. You know, I can't speculate from a problem what the answer is. All I can do is pose the issue to myself that, there seems to be a problem here. Seems to be an inadequate perception here. Without really relying on presuming that I could come up with an answer, you know, just through pressuring myself, you know, like, oh, come on, do it. Come up with the answer. No, I can't come up with the answer. It has to come from inspiration percolating and then dwelling on it. And I felt uneasy. Eventually, I reached the point where I felt uneasy because I felt that a piezoelectric crystal somehow figures into the equation, and now I can see how it complicates matters slightly to make it a seven-part system rather than a five-part system. So, at least in terms of concepts that could be mapped to something else. I mean, this doesn't mean it strictly has to be this way. But just in terms of describing the concepts via examples, which don't have to be executed in terms of these examples, just in the conceptualization, help to formulate the conceptualization in terms of these examples so that, you know, somebody with a good sized creativity and a background in electrical engineering and material science can come up with their own version of how to implement this concept. But at the heart, in more simplistic terms, at the heart of his special generator, it appears to be very similar to an audio signal generator in that we're trying to create a clean signal so that when it gets amplified, we still have something clean enough to be also powerful enough to drive a major load and not stall the load for failure to drive it, for failure for being a clean, crisp signal at its heart. So a piston is a nice idea when you don't have piezoelectric crystals to vibrate. Nothing wrong with it. But with a piezoelectric crystal, it adds two more layers. It doubles the aluminum electrostatic layer, both the transmitting and receiving, and then it sticks a piezoelectric oscillating crystal in the center to be the pivotal point. So it turns five steps into seven. So it could be that Tesla's original version was a five-part system, but now with today's technology, we can make it slightly more sophisticated, a bit more solid state, relatively speaking. In other words, reduce the movement involved And now you don't have to worry about tanks of liquefied air to drive a pneumatic driven piston, reciprocating piston. And, you know, the fact that Tesla's reciprocating piston, according to William Lyon, was only needed to vibrate or reciprocate a 1/16 of an inch kind of lends the suggestion that we could move in the direction of a piezoelectric crystal, an oscillating crystal. Because how much do they oscillate, you know, in terms of distance? Far less than a 1/16 of an inch, that's for sure, I can bet you. Just guessing without actually knowing. We're scaling the movement down pretty good here. So it sounds like it's the right direction. Without knowing anything, just surmising, just supposing, it sounds like the right direction to take. So the first half of this recording was done on the 29th of December, but today's recording was done on the 5th of January. And I'm putting the two parts together because I guess they're dimly relevant, and plus I haven't posted the first half yet, so I don't know why, I kind of forgot about it, but just as well.